Assalamu alaikum, everyone. My name is Muhi Khwaja, and I'm with American Muslim Community Foundation's Muslim Philanthropy Podcast. Today we have on special guest Greg Abdul Salam from Masjid Bilal RVA. He is a trustee and administrator with the organization. Welcome to the show, Greg.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. We're glad to be here.
Wa alaikum assalam. So I wanted to invite you on the show and give you an opportunity to talk to our listeners more about yourself, your background, and Masjid Bilal. So what would you like to share about yourself?
Well, I've been with the organization Masjid Bilal since my undergrad days, actually. I graduated from Howard University in 1979. Embraced al-Islam shortly thereafter, probably around maybe 1983. And coming back to my hometown, which is Richmond, from Howard, I was devoted to doing some things in the community, just finding community an outlet for community activism. And I ended up embracing Islam and kind of stumbling into Masjid Bilal as a community. I've been involved with them for better part of probably about 30 years. Wow. Doing scouting initially, doing fundraising, different programs. Probably when I turned about 30 years of age, I was actually the imam for the community.
Wow.
Functioned as the imam for about 11 years, and just remained on board trying to support our current imam, Imam Michael Abdul Hakim. So that's kind of the overview of the background.
Yeah, for sure. And what was it about volunteering that kind of spoke to you and wanting to get involved in the community?
Yeah, well, you know, really, for me, prior to Islam, you know, before I came into Islam, just being, I think, being at Howard for mm-hmm. one, and then I come from a family of activists too. My father was active in the community, in the neighborhood that I grew up in. So watching him being involved politically, when we were kids, we used to pass out pamphlets, you know, supporting local congressional representatives and things like that. So it's kind of, I come from a neighborhood, actually a community of people that were just always trying to give something back. So for me, there was nothing else to do but to do that.
Nice. And through your time, being an imam or as a trustee or administrator of Masjid Bilal RVA, what have some of the challenges you've seen over the years and kind of seeing the community grow? And tell us a little bit more about some of the programs that Masjid Bilal holds as well.
Right, right. Well, I guess by virtue, first of all, let me say this too, because I didn't say this. The masjid that I service and that I'm a part of are an association with Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad, W.D.
Sure.
Muhammad. So when I came in, the community, it was probably, this was like 1979, 1980 or so. So I've been there long enough to watch the community grow, and a lot of our elders that were with us then have since passed away. So I've seen maybe a generational shift in the composition of our communities. Our community, when I came in, was thriving a little bit more. We had young families, families with children of school age. And now, approximately, you know, 30-something years later, many of those families moved on. Their children are adult now, and many of them have moved on, physically moved on, in the same region as we are. So a lot of the support and help as a congregational community that we had when I was younger, you know, again, right out of undergrad, we no longer have that, you know, so there are a few of us that are still kind of holding on. The elders that we have are the ones that are still alive. We still consult with them, and those are our principal supporters. But the numbers as far as congregational size and commitment to the community, it's just not there anymore.
Interesting note, and I can definitely see that as a challenge in terms of just finding that next generation to pull into the organization and, you know, find those people just like yourself who 30 years ago just wanted to make a difference in their community. So
Right.
in terms of like Masjid Bilal's founding as well, can you tell us a little bit more about the background of the organization?
Yeah, well, actually, Masjid Bilal is the oldest established mosque or masjid in the city of Richmond. Its inception was with the Nation of Islam. So this is before I came into the community, but like many principal urban centers around the United States, the Nation of Islam, under the leadership of Elijah Muhammad, were very, very successful. And very, very successful from the standpoint of infrastructure development and entrepreneurship and business development. Of course, when he passed away in 1975, his son, Wallace Muhammad, or Waris Deen Muhammad, took over the leadership of the community, kept a lot of the very good practices, or should I say, really programs, programmatic side, what his father had implemented, continued to push and bolster that. But doctrine-wise, of course, he brought us into mainstream Islam, which corrected that teaching that his father had taught. So, as such, the community in Richmond was a part of that movement. There was a minister, one of the earliest ministers in the Richmond area, was a man named David Duff. David Duff was a spiritual teacher, religious teacher. He had not come into Islam, but I guess in the early 1930s or so, he became introduced to the teaching of Elijah Muhammad. Once he heard those teachings, his entire congregation actually converted over to Islam in the Richmond area. And so that's the earliest beginnings of it, really go date back to Minister David Duff, him and his family.
Yeah, I'm really grateful to hear this history and transition of the community because it's such a critical part of the story of Islam in America. And it's
That's correct.
fantastic to see, how many mosques, how many congregations, how many leaders and communities were then transitioned to mainstream Islam, all under the leadership of Imam Wahdeen Muhammad. And
I mean,
I mean, it's really a testament to his leadership, and really grateful to see the vibrant communities that were established under the Nation of Islam and a lot of those principles and programs still operating today. Can you share a little
that's
bit
correct.
more about those programs?
Well, I would say that probably, of course, the flagship of Wahdi Muhammad's leadership would certainly be the Sister Clara Muhammad school system that he was a very, very strong advocate for. And of course, across the United States, depending upon the city and how successful the community itself was, that educational program grew to different levels of success. Probably the best or the largest, most successful program is the one in the Atlanta, Georgia area. And as far as the Sister Clara Muhammad school system is concerned, I know they operate all the way up. They have an operational high school in the Atlanta area, and many of their graduates have gone on to undergraduate work, probably even graduate work. And it all started with that Sister Clara Muhammad school system. The school may bear a different name. In fact, I believe the high school in Atlanta is, I think it's Waris Deen Muhammad High School, I believe it is. But across the country, in different cities, again, depending upon the size of the congregation, how successful they were, principally as far as business was concerned, had a lot to do with how successful those school systems ended up being because it required the economic and support of a thriving business community.
Right. And I think, that model is so pivotal. And, we see nonprofit organizations all the time, but maybe they don't have a critical support base. But it was really ahead of their
Exactly.
time to think of how can businesses support the community and really empower the community as well. So definitely a lot to learn and implement from
Absolutely.
that model. And I was,
That is absolutely
yeah.
correct.
I was fortunate enough to learn about Masjid Bilal RVA and Sister Clara Muhammad Schools through American Muslim Community Foundation. And Conversely, just wanted to ask
Ah.
about how you guys found out about American Muslim Community Foundation as well.
Oh, okay. That's a good question. Actually, what happened was, well, of course, well, Masjid Bilal has operated a food bank program for well over, I would say, 25 years. The program is now, it was part of the Central Virginia Food Bank initiative at that point in time, but it was an effort that grew out of Masjid Bilal. And it has continued to operate for all that time. Now, the Central Virginia Food Bank is now known as Feed More, and we continue that role. As such, I believe one of the volunteers from another Islamic organization met our coordinator, Dr. James Rashid, and he brought to our attention the foundation. And that's prior to that time, we weren't even aware of it. That individual told Dr. James he thought that our community outreach food program was a perfect candidate for the support of the foundation. And we are thankful that they brought that to our attention because, as I think I told you in one of the prior emails, one of our prior correspondence, this is the first time we've received any type of support or even really sought support. We've always sought to do it on our own, whatever no money's been able to collect. But now, of course, with the pandemic and the increasing need to feed more people in our communities, we've now gone from just operating the food principally maybe once, well, maybe 4 times a month to almost 3 times that.
Wow, so definitely seeing an increased need in the partnership for the food bank and providing resources, especially during these difficult times of the pandemic. And early on in March of 2020, we created what we called the COVID-19 Response Fund for nonprofits. And we were fortunate to work with
Yes.
so many different community partners and able to raise $360,000 that was then distributed to nonprofit organizations. And really glad that Masjid Bilal RVA found out about AMCF, applied, and we were so grateful to partner with you on the great work you're doing in the community to support
Oh, absolutely.
$10,000. So tell us a little bit more about
Absolutely.
how that $10,000 kind of shifted things for you and was able to create more support for your programs and benefit the community.
Well, as I mentioned, really that was the first time that we'd actually received any type of funding for the program. And of course, with when the pandemic began, all of our prior to that time, the support, financial support for the program principally came out of our operational fund and from the few dollars that the neighbors would actually donate when they came to collect food items. So when the pandemic began, of course, the congregational attendance decreased following CDC guidelines, and many people just out of concern, they stopped coming to the masjid frequently, especially those that were our financial supporters. They have continued to support, though, either remotely through PayPal. We still count on that support. But even before, because we were actually giving out the food and doing the food distributions on a smaller scale, the monies that we were collecting at that time were adequate. But now, since we're distributing food according to our coordinator every week, twice a week, plus one major distribution a month, we've definitely gone, we've almost, I would say, maybe 4 times the amount of food volume that's being distributed. So that money that we were awarded from the foundation just gave us the support that we needed to keep to continue to purchase these items, because the food items are not free, and the administrative costs are not free. So it allowed us to do that. The other thing, which for us is very, very significant, is that we believe in having being sustainable, self-sustainable, as
Right.
far as any type of program that we want to implement. So before we heard about you, we were in the process of trying to establish commercial kitchen within our facility. And ultimately, out as an outgrowth of that, establish a community cafe that would service not only the Muslim community, but principally the broader community that surrounds the masjid in Richmond. Richmond is not unlike many cities. A great deal of gentrification has occurred in immediate proximity to our masjid, which is really a blessing for us, because many of the people that now share our neighborhood, many of them, they are committed to neighborhood life and family life as such. And so they look forward to different services that might be in the neighborhood, such as restaurants and cafes and things like that. And so we're trying to position ourselves such that we can offer one of those services, which will provide a financial base for years to come. So one of the things that we were able to do with the funding that we got from you all was to watching touches on a walk-in freezer unit that we were in the process of buying prior to our knowing about the foundation. Since we received that funding, we've actually completed the installation of that walk-in freezer unit. Before, we were using older, the standard refrigerators, that people had donated and given away for us, the utility bills through the roof. But now we have a walk-in freezer unit that can accommodate some of those items that have to be frozen, meats. Additionally, what it will allow us to do is to also begin to market halal products, halal meat products in bulk. So we're really looking forward to being able to utilize that facility in that way.
Yeah, I'm really glad that the support has been able to make a positive impact. And to your point on gentrification, I think that maybe is one of the silver linings of that, right? That, there's such opportunity to engage the community. And I'm glad that Masjid Bilal is looking into how they can be a staple in the community as well to provide services. And hopefully what you can do is now go to local community foundations and partner with local family foundations and say, we have received foundation support from AMCF, and we want to now engage you in supporting our organization as well. So hopefully it can open some more doors for you on the foundation side of funding as well.
Yes. In fact, that has happened on several different levels.
Great.
We have an association with First Unitarian Universalist Church in the city of Richmond.
Mm-hmm.
They are one of our faith partners, and they recently gave a pretty substantial donation to the food bank program.
That's great.
There's an association of a Lutheran organization also that has given substantial donation to the food program. So there are a number of larger organizations in the city of Richmond, some of them faith-based, that are aware of the work that we do, that want support, and they've become big supporters.
I'm glad to hear that interfaith collaboration. And something of note, AMCF is launching an interfaith giving circle confronting hate. So we're looking at, interfaith networks across the entire country to then learn more about the work that we're doing and try to help with all of that. So more to come on that interfaith giving circle as well, inshallah.
Yes, sir.
I want more people to learn about Masjid Bilal RVA. So where can people find you online?
Okay, sounds great. Well, we have both a Facebook and a web presence. The website is www.masjidbilalva.org. And also you can look for Masjid Bilal RVA on Facebook as well.
Great. And tell our listeners a little bit more about some of the projects that you personally like to give to. I'm assuming Masjid Bilal RVA is on the top of that list. But what are some of the other nonprofit organizations that mean a lot to you and your family?
Right. Well, personally, on a personal level, I'm a bit of a news junkie, and specifically progressive news. I'm a big supporter, and also the masthead is too, of Free Speech TV on the multimedia platform. They have excellent venue formats for international news, health and wellness. A lot of the issues that are going unreported on commercially sponsored media. So personally, I'm an ongoing supporter of that venue, as well as local PBS-based type stations, media. That's been my focus. I believe that in order for the Muslim community, for us to have the impact that we need to have, we need to be using the venues that are available to us, such as social media, the internet, radio, especially radio and radio and the internet. For many of our communities, television is just out. The cost is it's not there. But other things we can do. And so our thing is to push the envelope on those resources, learn more about them, try to find young people that can really help us to optimize the effectiveness when we use those venues such as mass media, and go from there.
Yeah, I think the narrative that Muslims can have in the role of media obviously could be a lot better with our public image. And a way to do that is through these local news stations, and being able to have more young professionals enter into those fields of journalism, and have more news anchors, more representation in all of it. So I think there's a really good opportunity and need for the Muslim community to start supporting those organizations as well, just as you mentioned. And I think one effective way that families can do so is, you know, as an individual, if I give to, say, my local NPR station, you know, they may not associate that I'm doing it based on my Islamic identity. And, you know, if I give through American Muslim Community Foundation and then give to NPR or PBS or any other media-based charity, they'll understand that this is a gift coming from the Muslim community, and it's on behalf of Greg, it's on behalf of Muhi, it's on behalf of all Muslim Americans across the country. So, you know, there's a really big opportunity for families to partner with AMCF to distribute all of their charitable giving, because as the research by Institute for Social Policy and Understanding shows, American Muslims want to give just as equally to, and they're just as likely to give to causes outside of our faith community. So I think there's a really big opportunity. Exactly. Yeah. Wonderful. Well, any last second thoughts?
I want to thank you,
of course,
and thank the foundation for the opportunity. What we are to do is share with more and more people what the work that you all are doing. In fact, you have a standing presence on our Islamic study portal, so we are promoting the foundation and the work that you all are doing as well.
I'm glad to hear that. And you know, people can find the Islamic Studies portal on your website. I think there's also, it's mobile friendly, so people are able to just learn a little bit more.
Yeah.
And it's accessible. That's another main thing, right? It's available as a
program. Most accessible.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So definitely everybody should check it out.
It's on. Yeah, we're using the Eventbrite platform to actually launch it. But every week we update it with relevant news media as well as Islamic studies content. So the content is pretty diverse, and we're constantly looking to expand our database of mailers.
Fantastic. Well, I really have appreciated the opportunity to learn more about Masjid Bilal RVA. Thank you, Greg, so much for your leadership in the community and being an example for all of us about how we can give back to the institutions that we love.
Alhamdulillah, we're so thankful.
Likewise. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining. Thank you.